You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Thanks for listening to the Bart and Han Show podcast. Listen live weekdays at noon on 98.7 ESPN.
All right, we're rolling to hour number three of Bart and Han. Alan Han, Bart Scott, 98.7 ESPN. 800-919-3776, the number, as we will go full buffet now the rest of this show, because we lead you into the K-Show, and there is certainly a lot going on. The Yankees and the A's underway. They're into the fourth inning. No score. Aaron Boone, I believe, got tossed, which that's early. Meanwhile, we have the playoffs tonight. On the hardwood, we have the Knicks at the Garden for game two against the Sixers, and a lot of things up in the air as the Knicks are up 1-0 in the series after a big win Saturday. But Joel Embiid is still questionable, although it does feel like he's going to play. He did participate in the morning shootaround. But you know who wasn't there for the Sixers this morning? Their lead guard, all-star, Tyrese Maxey, who was left back in the hotel with what they're calling an illness. So his availability is considered questionable. Hard to believe a guy is going to miss a playoff game due to any kind of illness. But still, things to watch for this game tonight, which would be if the Knicks can take a 2-0 lead, that would be huge. Going back to Philly, which, by the way, I've mentioned this before, the three Villanova guys, that's like home for them. Like, they'll point up into the rafters and say, we put banners in this place. Like, that, like, this is home. But you know it'll be a raucous crowd and everything else. So, take advantage. This is why you have home court advantage. Start the series at home and get control of it. So, tonight, huge game. Also on the ice, down in Carolina, Islanders and the Hurricanes, they play tonight in game two. Islanders lost game one on Saturday evening in a game where there were a lot of opportunities for them to win. They didn't. Frustrated because offense for them, scoring goals, yeah, that's always the frustration for them. So certainly something to watch, see if they can even it up, or is just Carolina just too good for them, that system? I mean, just a festival of icings, a friend of mine in the media called it. And that's what you don't love to watch it, but still, see if they can make some noise in this postseason, because if they win their series and the Rangers win their series, guess who we get, kids? That'd be a lot of fun. But we got to get there first. Rangers got their win on Sunday. So, yes, full buffet for all of you at 800-919-3776. Now, before we get back to calls and everything else, I did want to bring up something that I talked about yesterday on social media, because it was something that has become kind of a tradition. And it's funny to say tradition in playoffs with the Knicks, because they haven't really played a lot of playoff games. But they have. This is the third year now in the last four that they've been in the postseason. Now, it started with that first year when it was post-COVID as far as crowds being allowed back in the building. And the Knicks were playing the Hawks. Trae Young was, you know, at the time, he was like getting to Reggie Miller status. And so the fans really had it with him. And so when the Knicks won the second game, it was game two, that was your first playoff win in such a long time. I remember being across the street in the MSG Studios on 7th Avenue, across from the Garden entrance, like the marquee for Penn Station. And fans came out and flooded the streets, and it was celebrations. And yes, there was all kinds of stuff that, you know, went on about Trae Young. But it was just the fact that there was euphoria and joy. And it was kind of cool. The following, obviously, they don't make the playoffs. But then last year, the Knicks not only make the playoffs, but they win their first round. They win their home games. And when they were winning home games, what you saw was the crowd doing the same thing. Come out. They would come out to 7th Avenue. And I'd never seen 7th Avenue shut down before, but it was when they won their games at home. And it was just, again, more celebrating and just happy people, right? That's really the majority of it was. And it's okay. This has become like a thing. The Knicks win a game. The Garden pours out. Everybody just goes out in front of the building. And you just take over the sidewalks, and it's just a whole bunch of celebrating. Well, that happened again on Saturday night. Knicks get the win, and I look out, and there we are on 7th Avenue, and there's the crowd, and everybody's just having a great time. And social media now, everybody's got their cameras out. and all that stuff. And it just sounded like this. All right, that's a little premature. But there were some other chances as well. Trae Young came up somehow, some way. I don't know why, but he did. But the Boston stuff, it's just joy, man. It's just euphoria. It's happy. It's all the things that, my God, do we not need that in our lives these days in this city and everything else? Everything that this market has been through sports-wise, when you consider the sports landscape and how our spirit is like has been tested year after year with the losing. So I started seeing people that were some in the media, some just fans, and they were calling out fans for celebrating a playoff win like that. It was game one of the first round. And yes, the sidewalks were filled with people that were reveling and happy. And I felt like, can we stop with the wet blanket? Like, why are we chastising fans for being happy after their team won? This whole notion that it's like, oh, act like you've been there before. What have you been there before? These are fans, not players. Yeah, I understand players shouldn't overreact to things early on and all that stuff. Fans? Listen, after what we've seen over a decade here, you don't know how long this is going to go. You don't know how many good moments you're going to have. Why don't you enjoy them? So that's all I kind of said. Let people enjoy happy moments as they come. And this is the other thing that I've noticed too. We move the goalposts on this stuff all the time. Like, stop me if you've heard this before. So for instance, like the Knicks, they had a 50-win season. And what do you get? So what? Win in the playoffs. Okay, fine. So you win a playoff game. So what? Win the series. Okay, you win a series. So what? Win a title. Damn. When am I allowed to be happy? When am I allowed to cheer and celebrate? When am I allowed to just let loose? Like, you understand, like, we have not had anything as far as playoff success to enjoy at the level of this. It's been very rare. The Yankees, yes. Yankees have gotten to a couple of ALCSs. The Rangers, all those years ago, got to a final. The Mets got to a World Series. But that's it. I mean, it's few and far between. My God, the Giants won a playoff game. The Jets, please. Jets haven't been to a playoff game since Can't Wait. And we all know that. Still waiting. So when we have gone this long with all the damn teams we've had, and there's been more frustration about losing and more of the draft pick stuff and tanking. I mean, think about the conversations we have had. You're going to tell me that the fans are not supposed to have some fun? So here's my thing. I want to know if you agree or disagree. If you feel like it's too much, the fans shouldn't celebrate like they did Saturday, that they should not have that kind of joy when it's just one playoff game, or do you feel like I feel, which is, being a fan is not about being humble. I heard somebody say that. Be humble. What do you mean be humble? There's nothing about being a fan that's humble. Being a fan is about being loud, at times obnoxious. Under control, we don't want to go too obnoxious, but still. Being a fan is about cheering every moment, enjoying every moment, remembering it, because everything we've been through in the last decade plus, doesn't it kind of tell you, I don't know how many of these we're going to get. So when you get them, let's go all out. Let's have fun, because this thing can end in a snap. We all know this. Like, being a fan is about being loud. So I say be loud. Don't let people tell you how to fan. If you want to go out on the sidewalks and chant and hold up your phones and go on IG Live and sing and dance and have fun with other people, think about this. What's the one thing unifying all of us right now? Think about how many things tear us apart. All of us. How many things tear us apart? How many things are so polarizing? It doesn't matter. One little comment you make, one little color you wear, whatever it is, music you listen to, all of a sudden now you are labeled as something. But how cool is it that all those people, we don't really care when you're in a group and you're all wearing Yankee pinstripes, when you're all wearing Giants red and blue, when you're all wearing orange and blue, and you look around, you're like, we're all family now. I don't care about what you believe in. I don't care about your religion. I don't care about your color. I don't care about your political stances. I don't care. You're wearing orange and blue. I'm wearing orange and blue. And our team just won tonight. So let's celebrate together. It's the one unifying thing we have. And somebody's going to tell you that, no, no, no. Be humble. Tamp it down. You know what those people are? Scared. That's what I think. I think there's too many people that are afraid to show joy this early. Like they only want to show the joy after something was accomplished, not along the way. Because they're afraid that if you don't reach whatever the path is that you're hoping to be on, that the end goal doesn't get achieved and your joy will be used against you. Oh my God. They're going to laugh at you. You know how Bart always does, right? The movie Carrie. They're going to laugh at you. That's what you're afraid of, that they're going to laugh at you. Who cares? It's sports, man. So what? Yeah, so you had the audacity to be excited about your team and to want to believe in them and along the way. And so it fails. And you're afraid that some other idiot on some other fan base is going to mock you. Look at these Knicks fans. You guys didn't even get out of the first round. It's like, yeah, but you know what? We didn't, but it was hella fun. Right? Yeah, it sucks now. And I'm mad because this happened and that happened, because that's what being a fan is. But you're going to tell me Saturday, everybody that was out on that sidewalk Saturday, that wasn't hella fun? You know it was. Isn't life too short to not say to yourself, no, 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 we're not going to do that. No, we're going home. We're not going to celebrate. We're going to be humble. The hell with that. Humble. Enjoy every moment. And I say this now as an older man. I'm in my 50s. So yes, every minute matters to me. My father, my grandfather didn't live past 61. All right, I'm going to be 53. You think I'm not counting the days? Stuff matters, man. Every moment matters. So when there's that chance to celebrate, when there's that chance, there's strangers that you were just spent the whole game with in your section of the arena, of the stadium, whatever it was, and something awesome happened, something great happened, a memory, a moment, and everybody's just cheering and jumping and chanting and singing and all that. Jump in there and be part of it. And who cares who might use it against you? This whole thing I saw, I think it was Buchagras who said, Knicks fans are like the Maple Leafs fans of the NBA. Other people say it's the Dallas Cowboys fans of the NBA. Who cares, man? Let them do that. You go ahead and wet blanket all that stuff. You be that Debbie Downer. But this was hella fun. And I want to do it again. So 7th Avenue tonight. I'll be in the studio, and if the Knicks win tonight, if they do, I expect you out there. And not worry about what people are going to say. They're going to laugh at you. Who cares? Because you're having fun right now. Live in the now. We don't know what tomorrow's going to bring. Nobody does. But at least we have this moment together. 800-919-3776. Jason, Williamsburg, go.
What's up, guys?
What's happening?
First of all, if the Knicks are listening, I need 3 tickets for tonight because I'm running a company and I'm in debt from the TV strike, but I need to go to the game tonight. I will be on 7th Avenue. With everything that's going on in New York City right now, this is the best thing to happen. The Rangers are number 1. The Knicks are number 2 in the Eastern Conference. Don't hate on us because we got 2 teams in every sport, but we got 2 teams that are rocking right now. Let us rock out. Let us ride on 7th Avenue. Do you know what 7th Avenue looks like at 4 o'clock in the afternoon any other day?
Yes.
A bunch of homeless people and EDPs. We'd rather have some Knicks fans and Rangers fans yelling. We're getting out of the first round. The Capitals, they suck. the 76ers, I told my Philly friends to bring me a cheesesteak when this round is over, because they're going to owe me more than a cheesesteak. But let us rock out. We're going to get to the Eastern Conference Finals. We'll get to the Eastern Conference Finals for the Rangers also, and then we'll see what goes from there, God willing. But we're rocking out for the next three rounds. It's going to be loud in New York City.
I hear you,
Thank
Jason.
You for having me on.
No, I appreciate your passion, man. 7th Avenue, 4 o'clock, by the way, is just loaded with cars. Trust me. Stuck in it every day. Cars. Packed. That's life. That's New York. Scott in Manhattan. Scott.
Hey, what's up? How you doing? Yeah, listen, you know, like, man, the longtime Knicks fan, like you said, listen, a lot of people either scared or haters. And I got into a long conversation with a friend of mine last night, and I finally got him to pull out. I said, and you just touched on it. He said, I'm a long-time Knicks fan like you. But I said, but you know, I just don't know what's going to happen. So they're scared. I said, listen, live in the moment. Like you said, right now, we haven't been in a long time. We got a good team. They got here. A lot of people expect us to get here with the injuries and everything. We're here now.
That's
so let's enjoy it. I don't have a problem with
That's
it, man.
A great
listen,
point.
We had Sandy, COVID, you know what I'm saying? All types of crime. Listen, let us live, man. You know, and I work in the nightlife, and you should see what it's like in the city at night when you're seeing all the jerseys, people cheering, and people don't know each other and just having a good time.
Beautiful.
You'll enjoy it, man. Life is too short, man.
I'm with you, Scott. Like, I'm with you. And it's a great point you bring up, too. Like, those who are afraid to be happy, think about how you felt January 27th, when after that month that was like, oh, my God, is this real, right? So many Knicks fans would tell me, I can't believe this is real. They're 14-2. I can't believe this is real, right, after that trade. And then you found out not just that Julius Randle hurt his shoulder and it would be, you know, weeks now and there was so much uncertainty. The very same day, if you remember, OG Anunoby missed the game because he started having elbow issues. And now it's like, whoa, now it's two starters. And they already lost Mitchell Robinson. And then that just carried out. Think about how you felt like all the good stuff now is gone. And this season, like, can they make the play-in? I remember people saying it to me. Can they at least make the play-in? I'm like, oh, you got to avoid the play-in. Can you finish top six? Oh, I don't know if we can do that. So think about where you were then and where they are now. And you still don't feel like you deserve to celebrate that? Come on. Joe in Staten Island. Joe.
Hey, Han. What's going on, buddy? How are you?
What's happening? Good.
So let me tell you something right now about this. It's like the ugly girl in school that was no one really paid attention to for many years, and then you run into her, you know, years later, and the girl's dropped dead beautiful. I personally think that the league's jealous. Number one, how do you not have Tom Thibodeau at least in the running for Coach of the Year? Number two, are we supposed to be embarrassed that we're doing good? I mean, this is who we are. This is why people come to New York to watch us play, because they want to see that kind of stuff. I don't think we should have our head down at all. This is
no.
The time that we've been knocking on the door for a long time now. The last couple of years, we've been in the playoffs. But now, you know, listen, people got to take us serious. It's time.
This is – and obviously, right. Like first of all, let's remember – there were not too long ago, it was hard for any fan to be proud of what they saw on the court. Now you've got that. Now you've got that, and you're building it forward, right? Like, so you have that.
I'm 30 years old.
Yeah.
You know, I just turned 30. I have never in my life witnessed success from the Knicks. This is all new to me. So the fact that we're seeing this right now is a beautiful thing.
Yeah, you were quite young when they went to the finals in 99. I understand, Joe, and even that run was a surprise. But the whole thing about listen, I'm with you. We want Boston chance. I would, if I was out there, I'd be like, settle. That must be the kids, right? That's the kid. You're getting a little excited, settle down. Somebody told me that they burned an Embiid jersey. No need for that. Like, that's silly. But there's always the one, you know, or two people that are going to take something that is just, we're having fun, and then, okay, that went too far, right? There's always that. That escalated quickly. You don't need that. So I don't like when they judge this group chanted, we want Boston, and now that represents everything that was happening after the game. But don't tell me that a fan base can't just go out and have fun and celebrate and feel good about something. Like, especially here, like I said, it's been over a decade. Two of everything and three hockey teams and not one championship? Yeah, celebrate everything. Chris in Connecticut. Chris.
Hey, how's it going, Han? I was just calling. First time, long time. Honestly, didn't think I was going to make it through. This is awesome.
Appreciate
I was on the sidewalk Saturday, let me tell you, vibes, energy, everything. Right. Immaculate. New York is on fire. Nixon 4, Nixon 5. What did you think about the game, huh?
I told you. It was, to me, the nail biter I was expecting. It was the grinder I was expecting. What I didn't expect is when Embiid went down, I did not think he'd come back. He did. Tough dude. Warrior. And now I just wonder how much can he deliver? Because it just looks like the Knicks have to outlast him. So what did I think of Saturday? I thought, just as typical as the whole season has gone, this is a team that was resilient and somebody always found a way. In this game, it was Deuce in the second quarter, and it was Josh Hart in the fourth quarter. It wasn't Jalen. Not yet. It was always somebody, and that's just how this season has gone. And that's why, like I said, you feel good because you're like, you know, I trust these guys. It's something, somebody's going to step up. These are not guys that just either give up or drop their shoulders, or they fight and they fight and they fight. And that's why when a game like that ends, you go out on the streets and you celebrate, because how do you not? That's what it's about. So as I said, don't listen to the naysayers. Don't listen to people that are trying to mock you or wet blanket any of your fun. If you're there and your team wins, and I mean this at Citi Field, I mean this everywhere. If it's a great moment, have fun with it. And don't let people tell you, oh, it's just a game. It's just one game. You know, you haven't even won the series yet. Okay, well, this is one step towards that. So let me enjoy this tonight. Do you mind? I spent a ton of money to get in the building. I spent a ton of time to get here. I'm probably not getting any sleep at all before I go, you know, if I go to work in the morning. Can I enjoy this? Right? Like, can I have this, if you don't mind? Man, I couldn't stand seeing that reaction the other night. I had to say something because I don't like when people tell people how to fan. And I hate this notion that as a fan, you're supposed to have some type of humility. Oh, be humble. Be humble. Let the players do that. I'm having a great time because this is what you're a fan for. This time of year, playoff wins, playoff moments, and the anticipation of perhaps building something to one day where you could be part of something big, like, you know, a parade. That'd be nice too. All right, 800-919-3776. We will continue with your calls and more. Like I said, it's playoff time. No better time in New York. Barton Hahn, 98.7 ESPN.
Hey, baseball fans. Go Yard with BetMGM, the king of sportsbooks. All season long, they're offering top odds on your favorite home run bets, fast and convenient ways to play same game parlay, special boosts, and much more. From the first pitch of the game, so game-winning fireworks, there are more ways than ever to supercharge the excitement, whether you want to combine multiple bets for a chance at bigger payouts or place live bets as the game unfolds. BetMGM has all the home run betting options you could need. Download the BetMGM app, head to the ballpark, and get your piece of the MLB action. BetMGM is an official partner of Major League Baseball. See BetMGM.com for terms. Must be 21 years or older to wager and physically present in New York only. Subject to eligibility requirements, rewards are issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY at 467-369.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/network.
We all know breakfast is an important part of your day, but sometimes when you're traveling for business, you end up staying at a hotel that doesn't offer any. You know what happens? You grab a cup of coffee and skip the meal entirely. We've all been there. But if you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you can enjoy their free Bright Side breakfast featuring delicious baked goods, fruit, eggs, yogurt, and waffles. And really, who doesn't want to start their day with a fresh hot waffle? Tonight, La Quinta, tomorrow you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
Now, let's talk about the play of the week. The pressure to follow up Hypnotic and Cognac, weighing heavy on the team. Hypnotic was in the cup, blue and ready for the play. And boom! Añejo Tequila came in with a smooth assist to Hypnotic's tropical fruit finish. Shaken, strained, poured. It was green and good! The playmaking splash shifted the tempo. Another great cocktail from the Hypnotic team. Every season is Hypnotic and Tequila season. Hypnotic Liqueur, Bardstown, Kentucky, 17% alcohol by volume. Hypnotic reminds you to think wisely, drink wisely.
Thanks for listening to the Bart and Han Show podcast. Listen live weekdays at noon on 98.7 ESPN.
All right, so a little bit of breaking news here on the Jets front. Diana Russini reporting that the Jets have indeed finally traded Zach Wilson. That is true. They have traded Zach Wilson to the Denver Broncos. So he joins Jared Stidham and Ben DiNucci, and also obviously Sean Payton, who will be coaching him next. They had to put a seventh-round pick in the deal, but they do get back a sixth-round pick. So they move up one round, and Zach Wilson now is a former Jets. Add him to the list of quarterbacks the Jets have taken in the top five that have moved on. So that is officially done. So the Jets now will figure out what they're going to do quarterback-wise behind, obviously, Aaron Rodgers and Tyrod Taylor. Isles Nation, listen up. ESPN New York has a chance to score tickets to the 2024 Stanley Cup playoffs. Be there to see your New York Islanders take on the Carolina Hurricanes in games 3 and 4 at UBS Arena. Enter to win at ESPNNewYork.com or in the ESPN New York app. Just scroll down to contest and submit your entry. It's brought to you by the New York Islanders. Be part of the electric atmosphere at UBS Arena. Get your tickets at NewYorkIslanders.com. And get your game coverage tonight. 7 o'clock is when the coverage begins on MSG Network. 7:30 is the puck drop. And, of course, Butch Goring is always part of that stuff, along with the 4 Stanley Cup rings and his number hanging in the rafters at UBS Arena. He joins us right now. Butchie, how are we doing?
Everything is good. Obviously, resting before the big game later today. An important game for the Islanders and even up this series.
Would you call Game 1 missed opportunities, because it seemed like they had a lot of chances to get goals, and I know there was one post, but Frederik Andersen was terrific as well. Were there missed opportunities to win Game 1?
I think, Alan, that, you know, if you're the underdog in the series and you're opening up on the road, I've always felt that the first game is the game where you can steal one, and I think the Islanders missed an opportunity the other night. They played well enough to win. They had, as you mentioned, some really good chances to score. And at the end of the day, they got beat on a fluke goal. I mean, it cammed off of 2 or 3 people and onto the stick of Nason. So it was an unfortunate bounce, but the Islanders did enough good things that the steal was there for them.
How frustrating is it to play against a team like Carolina, the style that they play? A friend of mine calls it, he's in the media down there, he calls it a festival of icings. It's basically, you got to really be patient playing against their system, don't you?
Yeah, you do, but you know, I thought the Islanders did a real good job. I mean, they're known as a real pressure forechecking team. They had their moments, no question about it. But for a large part of the game, they didn't get that going. I mean, I think shots were 30-15 after 2 periods, somewhere in that neighborhood for the Islanders. So, you know, the Hurricanes didn't get as much done as they normally did. So, I thought the Islanders made some adjustments to their game since the last time they played them. And so I thought, you know, it was a well-played game from an Islander perspective. So, you know, I think that type of game gives them every reason to think, hey, we can win this series.
Yeah, I get the blueprint obviously was there. Just putting the puck in the net is always the most important thing. Of all the adjustments that Patrick Waugh has made, is this moving Cizikas to the top line one of the biggest ones, the most effective maybe?
I think he's done a couple things for me that I really like, and certainly getting Cizikas on that line gives it a whole different dimension. I mean, we all know how Casey plays. He's a He just never stops moving. He's very physical. He's a terrific checker. He plays well in his own zone. So he brings a different element to the game, and he's been able to fit in extremely well with Barzal and Horvat. I think they've become an even better forechecking line than they were before. So I think that was a great chance that moving a guy that's played almost fourth line center his whole career, moving him up and taking a chance to see what he could do on the wing, a position, again, he hasn't really played for most of his career. Mm-hmm. I think it was a pretty nifty move, and it's worked out extremely well. The other side that I like, Alan, is that they switched from a zone defense to basically a man-on-man defense. And I think the group of guys that he has that play on defense, I think they just handled that a whole lot better. I just noticed just a lot less mistakes and indecision on the Islander part.
It's got to be difficult, right? He comes in, and he wasn't coaching in the NHL, but he had, obviously, in the past. He certainly had an incredible career, Hall of Fame career. But still, stepping in mid-season, taking over a team you probably don't know that well, you know, they went through the ups and downs leading into the playoffs. You know, you coached in the league. You certainly know what this is like. Just talk to me about the job that he has done since coming in and trying to fit the pieces together and make this thing work and finding themselves in a playoffs, which some people thought they weren't able to do. And then on top of it, after one game, you're like, you know what? They could be competitive in this series.
They really can. And the one thing that's been very noticeable about Patrick is that he's been his own person. He came into the league thinking, okay, this is the way I want them to play. And he hasn't deviated from that. And he's taken his time with it. And, you know, he's practiced a lot more than most teams do, just simply because he wanted to implement his systems. And the guys have been very, very receptive. They haven't fought it. And it's taken a while, as you mentioned, Alan, and it does. I mean, Patrick coming into the league first didn't know the team all that well. Sure, he watched a couple games, I'm sure of it. But he doesn't even know the league because he's paying attention to the Junior Hockey League where he owns and coached. So he had to get to know not only his own team, but he had to get to know the opposition as well. So, yes, he's done a terrific job, and they finished with the flurry when 2 weeks ago looked like they were done. I was on that losing streak. Things weren't going well. But they stuck with the program, and he made a switch to Varlamov, who got hot. And we all know what great goaltending can do for you. So he can take a lot of credit. He'll tell you it's the players, but I think it's twofold. I think he's done a great job, and the players have picked their game up.
It is amazing. And you brought up something that was my next thing I was going to say to you, is that if there's anybody that can tell, you know, Sorokin, hey, you got to sit, and, you know, it's better for us that Varlamov plays, it's Patrick Roy. Like when he tells you something as a goalie, you kind of go, okay, I trust you're thinking. That's a bold move when you consider that, you know, Sorokin was, you know, that's their number one guy. He's supposed to be the man, and he sat him.
Yeah, it was a gutty move, but in the same breath, I mean, Sorokin was Superman last year. I mean, he could have won the Vezina last year. He played well enough in a year, unfortunately, that Ullmark in Boston had an unbelievable year. So, but he hasn't been, you know, in all honesty, Sorokin has been very good, better than most people give him credit. But he's let the odd one in that last year he didn't let in, and then Barley, I think, got a chance simply because Patrick coached him in Colorado, watched him play extremely well, and so had a lot of confidence that, hey, if this guy gets on a run, he can do the job. But certainly, I think everybody knows Sorokin is the goaltender of the future, but for now, it's Varlamov. And these two guys are so close. They're such good friends. They understand the game. And Sorokin, I feel like he'll be back in before this series is all said and done. But in the interim of that, Varlamov has been sensational.
So what's the key for tonight, Butch? How do they even this series?
Well, I think they have to do a little bit more. And it just seems like when they get the chances, they have to score. It's going to be the same type of game. I mean, Islanders are playing with an awful lot of confidence. And when they get the power play, Alan, we've talked about this all season long. I mean, the special teams for the Islanders have struggled for the most part, particularly the penalty killing. So, if they can win the special teams battle tonight, then I think they can pull one out.
It'll be exciting, and you're certainly on the call tonight on MSG. Butch, always good to talk to you. Thanks so much.
All right, Alan, take care, pal.
You got it, Butch Gore. The last time he and I spoke, I was at UBS, and it was a brutal loss. I think actually it was to the Hurricanes, I'm not mistaken. And we were both talking about how it doesn't seem like this team's going to be able to make the run and make the playoffs. And then blink your eyes 2 weeks later, and there they are in the playoffs. And they really did have a chance to win that game one. We have the coverage on 10:50 a.m., by the way, on the radio side as well. 7 p.m. is when the coverage begins. 7:30 is the puck drop. And let me also mention something else, too, about the Islanders while I just take a chance here, because it needs to be said. And that is, John Ledecky is one of the team's owners, and talk about top-shelf, first-class kind of guy. They did something on Friday that, again, teams do this. It's always good to see. You get out in the community and everything else. But what you love to see, of course, is that he goes out himself, and he did this thing that I thought was a surprise and delight is what he calls it, what they call it. They go to different places and they surprise fans with playoff tickets. And there was one in particular, a kid named Dan Grogan, a high school kid, St. Anthony's on Long Island. He went through lymphoma. He'd gone through all kinds of treatment and stuff. And all he wanted to do was just go to a game. I just want to go to an Islanders game. I just want to feel better. He had been through a lot. Well, he went to a game and the Islanders went first class with him then. And then John Ledecky went to his house and said, you know what? More. You're coming to a playoff game. Like, and he did that with a lot of other people as well. But Dan, I know of him personally. And it's just, again, it's just little things like that, that matters. And so the Islanders, who have been through so many things, and, you know, 25 years ago, ownership there was an absolute disaster. Where they have come in all this time, and then Ledecky coming in here with Scott Malkin and what they were doing, the UBS Arena is gorgeous. And now Patrick Waugh, what a great move that was at coach, and having a chance now to maybe even up this series tonight. So a season that felt like it was in despair, hey, now all of a sudden they're in the playoffs, and they were in the fight in game one, no doubt about that. All right, 800-919-3776, of course, is the number to be part of the conversation to finish out before we hand it off to the K Show. We've got a lot more to get to, including Aaron Boone was thrown out of the game today. The Yankees and the A's are playing right now. But it's the most bizarre reason why he got thrown out. And we have the audio. You got to hear it. It's unbelievable. We'll finish up certainly with that. The road to the NBA Finals starts now. The NBA and new customers on FanDuel can go on their own playoff run with $150. Just place any $5 bet and you'll get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose, to use during the NBA playoffs. You can bet on all kinds of things. Three-pointers made in a game, over-under point totals. How about your first basket score? What about tonight? Who gets the first bucket tonight? Jalen Brunson. Gotta be. Just go to FanDuel.com/Allen to get started. FanDuel, official sports betting partner of the NBA. 21 older, physically present in New York. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com for help with a gambling problem. Call 1-877-8-HOPE-NY or text OPENY 467-369.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Thanks for listening to the Bart and Han Show podcast. Listen live weekdays at noon on 98.7 ESPN.
By the way, what we failed to do, we will do right at the very end of the show. So, Jacob, be ready. But right now, like, so what you have going on, so we got the Knicks and the Sixers tonight at the Garden, and we have full coverage here on 98.7 ESPN beginning at 7. Pat O'Keefe and Monica McNutt, of course, on the call. But the Yankees are playing right now in the ballpark in the Boogie Down, and we are in the bottom of the seventh. It is scoreless. And let's see, we have some activity. At least Stanton has, I think, gotten another hit. Because at that point, the Yankees had only had three hits. So, God. I mean, Carlos Rodon is throwing a one-hitter, by the way, through seven. Which we know for him is already an achievement that he got this far into a lineup. And they can't get him a run. It's maddening. But they're doing this without Aaron Boone. Now, why are they doing it without Aaron Boone? Well, in the first inning, he was tossed. But it was nothing that he did. Apparently, a fan in the crowd behind the dugout was giving the home plate umpire, Hunter Wendelstedt, all kinds of business. And I guess Wendelstedt had had enough, and he tossed Boone. Listen to this exchange.
Making that call.
You're not yelling at me. I did what I'm supposed to do and check. I'm looking for him to get hit by the pitch. You got anything else to say? You're gone.
Oh, okay, Hunter. Well, you know what? We're not going to need a John Boy breakdown of that one. We got a very clear. There you go. And now Aaron's saying, I didn't say anything. Aaron's saying, hold on a second. I didn't say a word.
I did not say anything, Hunter. It came from the crowd. He said, I don't care. You're gone. That's it. He gone. Like, imagine, like, it's almost like a parent, right? When you just get so mad at your kids that you look at one and you tell them, don't do this, don't say anything, whatever. And then the other kid says something and that kid gets punished. I didn't even do it. I don't care. I don't care anymore. I'm just done with you guys. First inning, he'd had it. I mean, Hunter, it's not even like the hot summer. It's one thing if you're miserable, it's like humid, hot, just disgusting day, and you're already mad, and then a manager's just giving you the business. But it's like a beautiful spring day in New York, and some guy in the crowd was just running his mouth, and you didn't want to hear it anymore. So you could tell he was triggered, right? First inning triggered. Like, is that how we're going to be? Oh, well. Aaron Boone out. So this game, like I said, scoreless. All right, so we have tonight, and all we know right now is that Joel Embiid is considered questionable. But he was for game one, and he still played. And when he played in the first half, he was indomitable. And Mitchell Robinson got out there against him and slowed him down a little bit. Now, the knee thing happened in the second quarter. The whole game turned in the second quarter when the bench got in the game. So I still feel like tonight's game is obviously still critical for the Knicks. You want to get up 2-0. You want to get a full command of the series because then you go back to Philadelphia. You do not want to have all the emotions and the energy and all that stuff in Philly. And you don't also want to give now Embiid a couple of days off. You do not want him to survive this game. Now, I'm not saying you purposely injure anybody. You don't do that. But as I said earlier in the show, how much intent will the Knicks have to continually test Joel Embiid's ability to move? Ability to play physical, ability to stay stable on that knee that continues to give him trouble. This has to be old school physicality that they have to bring in. No doubt about that. All right. Well, we finished it, so let's say it right now. Because, Jake, I know you're ready.
Oh, I'm ready.
This was hour number three. It was Bart and Han. So what's that mean?
It's the power hour. That's about 11 for Jalen Brunson.
I kind of like that. That's pretty good. Yeah, no, that's very good. That's very, very good. And that was the Power Hour. It was brought to you by Open Road Auto Group. Open Road Mercedes-Benz and BMW and Audi offer excellent pricing and first-class experience. Choose Open Road for your next new or pre-owned vehicle. Just visit us online, openroad.com. K-Show next. I'll see y'all tonight on MSG.
Thanks for listening to the Bart and Han Show podcast. Listen live weekdays at noon on 98.7 ESPN.